Welcome to Ask Wayne Everyone, and by the time you hear this, it won't be Labor Day, but consider it Labor Day all week because it is Labor Day at the time of this recording, and Joshua just taught me something. I didn't realize that they had Labor Day up in Canada, so he taught me that they do. So happy Labor Day to everyone who's listening to this podcast, even if they do listen to it small when it comes out. But Josh has a very interesting podcast and a very interesting project going on. He is the co-producer of the Grief Dream podcast. And as I say that, I probably screwed it up. So I'm going to let Josh take it away and explain more about the podcast and more about this project.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate this time to talk about sort of Grief Dreams itself. And so, yeah, we have the podcast, the Grief Dreams podcast, that we try to get an episode up every week. It depends how busy I am. But the whole goal of the show is to talk about people's life journey, talk about their loss, and then talk about dreams that they may have had of their deceased loved one. And so a little bit about me is, you know, like I'm doing actual academic research for my PhD on this topic of dreaming of your deceased loved ones. So this is it's a very fascinating topic, and it seems to be a very common experience after people have lost someone, someone they cared about. It could also be a pet or a miscarriage. I've done research in that too. So it's a very common experience, and there's all these different types of dreams that occur. So anyways, the podcast gives a little bit more depth of, you know, how these dreams make people feel and how they can help and hinder people on their grief journey. For me personally, I got into the topic because my father passed away about 11 years ago. And I was completely distraught. You know, like it was the first time I ever experienced a loss. And it was 3 months later, I was just like in a daze. But 3 months later, I had a dream where I had a chance to say goodbye to my father and that I loved him. He died very suddenly. So when I woke up, I felt a new peace, like within me, like something shifted. And I've never been able to explain that feeling, but I know it's helped me tremendously on my journey. And I know these dreams can help people on their journeys too. So it's really amazing how I had a dream that helped me through my life. And then I'm able to do work to actually explore this topic because there hasn't been a lot of work in this area. And so here I am now exploring this topic to help the bereaved make sense of these dreams a little bit more and also to make meaning from my own life.
Yeah, well, they let you go. I'm amazed that they'll let you do research for a dissertation on. When I get to my dissertation, which I said, yes, when it's going to get her master's in creative writing, I'll probably do something on cerebral palsy. I'll probably do something on creative writing and cerebral palsy mixed together because that's what I want to do. But my question is, why are you getting a PhD in grief and dreaming? That just sounds fascinating but yet confusing at the same time.
Yeah, it's I'm one of the first. So it's not like there's a field out there that really is looking at these dreams after loss. And so there's been some articles out there, but no one's really focused their entire academic career on it. So I did my master's first and looked at these dreams and what themes occurred, what were the common themes. And then in my PhD, I was lucky enough for my supervisor to basically accept me in to say, yes, I want you to explore this topic further. And so one of the common questions I kept getting when I was working with the bereaved was, why am I not having dreams of my loved one when maybe other people have? And then the other question is, why am I having these negative dreams over these positive dreams? So that's what I really, you know, is using this platform or the schooling for. It's to basically do research to explore that, because without that, no one knows. And so for the first study I did is, you know, what factors predict dreaming of the deceased? And the main thing there is dream recall. So a lot of people can have these complications because they think if they're spiritual, they can think that the deceased is not as angry at them, or maybe didn't cross over properly, or maybe they're in hell. And so I wanted to give them a scientific explanation on maybe why they're not dreaming of the loved one. And so dream recall is the most significant, like, predictor. So it's saying, like, the more you remember your dreams, the more likely you're going to remember one of these dreams. So most people are probably dreaming of the deceased. They're just not remembering it all the time. And so in my research, 86% of people who lost a spouse or partner within the first 2 years had a dream of the deceased. 86% is huge. After pet loss, after a year, it was 71%. And then after a miscarriage, it was around 50%. So these are huge numbers that the academic community and people who are trained in grief don't know about, right? Like, so a lot of people, the big reason to do the research is to normalize the experience, and that's what I'm setting out to do, and that's why I love doing these, you know, these podcasts and these interviews and stuff, because people don't know about this stuff. A lot of it's all hidden, like, and that's sort of by allowing discussion on this topic, people realize that those dreams that they're having are normal, and it's part of grief, and it's part of the grief journey.
Okay, so I'm not the natural person who has dreams about my biological mom every other day, probably. Every other day I wake up from a dream at night about my biological mom. Every other day, and I thought I was nuts. Well, people know this story, so it's not new to my fan base. But my mom essentially made me write my autobiography. I wanted to write my autobiography since I was about 17, you guys. And as my mom was passing, I asked her. She was in a medically induced coma. Long story there. But I asked her, can I write I Come a Win? Well, I Come a Win turned into this podcast, which I Come a Win is still available on Amazon to this day as we were recording this podcast. And so I'm now thinking that I'm not the natural person who is having dreams and saying my mom is watching over this podcast, like there's no tomorrow. So for those of us who are having dreams like I am and think we're nuts to be having dreams about pet loss or parental loss or mothers and fathers and sisters and all that good stuff, Josh, what is your advice? Because people are going to now call this podcast Guru Ever, because I'm having dreams about my mom every 2 seconds.
Okay, so yeah, there's different things you need to know. So the first thing is really just to be able to normalize it and say, yeah, like this is a common experience through the grief process. And what I've been finding out is that, you know, a lot of the dreams people have are actually comforting. Which, you know, that's a very beautiful thing, because it shouldn't be, because, like, dream research itself says that, or has found, that our dreams normally are negative in nature. So on average, we'll have more negative dreams just because we're anxious and, you know, we worry a lot and we have a lot of fears, and all that stuff creeps into your dreams because dreams represent our waking life. So we should have a lot of negative dreams after loss, especially with the deceased in it, because we're grieving them. But for whatever reason, a lot of these dreams are more positive in nature. So when people have those dreams, you know, that's amazing. And to keep those dreams and, you know, to hang on to them because it's a new memory that you've had with your loved one. If you're spiritual or not, it doesn't matter. You're still having these dreams. And so it can be a rock to you as you move forward because it's providing you a space of love and comfort in those times. But with people having negative dreams, it reflects your grief. And it usually reflects, so in the research I've been doing, it usually reflects trauma or anger, guilt, regret, something like that. Those are where you get more of the negative themes. So I always look when people tell me about their dreams and if they're negative, I always take a step back and say, you know, how does this reflect your waking life? Some people want to take it as a visitation, like a haunting, and I always almost cringe at that because I don't think that's the appropriate way to look at it. I think every time I've seen a negative dream, it always seems to represent where they are in their grieving process and what they still have to deal with. Like, it's usually something that you haven't dealt with yet in waking life that's like trying to basically tell you, you know, you need to deal with this, you know? And so with negative dreams, yeah, look to your waking life to give it some understanding. And usually if you look at the emotions of the dream, it's pretty straightforward on like what it can represent. But if you can't understand it, feel free to, you know, join the Grief Dreams Facebook group and send it out there, and I'm always there to answer any kind of questions people have. Or you could just email me yourself.
Well, I might do that, although I can share this dream I had last night, thank you very much, on this podcast, and it's partially because of the I'm going through a situation at work. Basically, I have a job without a job description. Let's just put it that way. And the pitfalls of me being in education, which my mom convinced me to go to. So last night, I had this dream where my mom was in my work classroom and I was sitting at my desk and she was trying to take the admin paperwork away from me. I'm not kidding. Away from me.
That's
right. So what is that? What is that all about?
That's funny. Well, it's the first of all, it's in the work environment, so it probably has less to do with your grief and more to do with what's going on in work, right? Because
yeah.
That's a very odd thing for your mom to be in. And so it has something to do with work, and then if you take it as a visitation, that's up to you, but it has something to do with the admin papers, right, like your workload. So for you, it's really trying to understand, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, what is going on the previous day that is causing you to think about this stuff? And then if you take it as a visitation or not, that's up to you because it could be your mom helping you or it just could be your mind telling you that you got to sort of like maybe reduce some of the workload. Like maybe you're putting too much on your plate. Because it's so you have dreams of your mom all the time. So it's not as common to have dreams all the time. But usually when they're in the dream, it's very important and that there's something there that's really trying to help you out because it's not like it's a random dream you're flying on an elephant, you know, in the sky. It's like there's something monumental about this dream because your deceased loved one's in it, which, you know, is very powerful to you, right? Like it's a statement that this maybe should be looked at a little more closely.
Yeah, interesting because I just got an email from my boss today and he goes, do you want to meet via phone? Because they're doing construction up near my work and it's chaos right now. And so he goes, do you want to meet via phone? And so we don't have to deal with you coming in. So I'll see what he says, but I believe that I have to now, even though they want me to do the admin side, I believe that I have to say no because now I'm a full-time student getting a journalism degree. So I'm working while being a full-time student, which is a lot.
Wow.
So luckily my program is online, which is a good thing. And so, but I think I have to now, because of this dream last night, and I think I have to now do the a little more of the creative side and less of the paperwork side.
Well, I think that's amazing. It's interesting, right? Like, you know, just by talking about the dream, you realize how it can connect to what, you know, your boss wants versus what you're trying to do, which is, you know, further your education. And it's so easy to put so much on your plate. But, you know, there's a detriment to both sides. You know, like, your work for the company is going to suffer, and also your work in school. And you're in school because you love it. There's something about it you want. And to really treasure that, and as much as you can, you got to put, like, you know, say, a lot of your time and effort into school. I know how tough it is and how much they, like, expect of you in school. So it's very hard to have a second, like, even just have a job. And so good for you to be able to handle both. But, yeah, it's like that full-time position would be very difficult for sure as you move forward. So you said, like, maybe the dream's giving you some guidance on what it is because you said, like,
mom is taking away
the paper. She's not giving them to you.
I think I have to say to them, I know, give me less of the admin side and more of the creative side. This is how it's going to work for the next 8 years. At Vernon, I'm not used to the admin side. I'm used to the creative side. I mean, I've had that job for 8 years. I got it in 10 days after my mom died, which people think is crazy, but that's what I do in Greece, and I wrote a book during that time as well. So I got the job 10 days after my mom died, which is a little bit nuts. And so you're not supposed to be transferring jobs with a disability 10 days after your mom died. Well, welcome to my life. I needed to do something. So, yeah, but I think I'm going to have to do more of the creative side myself, less than the paperwork side. So, Josh, if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
Educated by anyone?
Educated by anyone.
I don't know. Jesus, maybe?
Well, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, like, because the whole goal of, like, doing this research, what has opened my eyes, it's not really about the academic side, you know, like, it's great and all, but there's something about these dreams that pushes people to want to love more, right? Like, there's something about these dreams that focuses on a different kind of love than people get in waking life. And so the people that I know that, you know, have achieved sort of this beautiful love is, like, Jesus, or you do, like, even Hanuman in, like, the Hindu mythology or Krishna. But, like, these prophets, because that's the reason why they're prophets, because they can love like no one else can love. They love themselves and they love others. And so these dreams are trying to, in some way, I think, help us reach that goal. And so I would like to be trained by them to understand how to love better and myself more and also this world better as I'm here. So that's my answer.
So you would like to be trained to love yourself more and just educate all the rest of us on grief and dreams. And what has been coolest experience you have had on the podcast?
Oh, on the podcast. Let's see. It's a good question. Probably the coolest experience is hearing people's journeys about their grief, and then getting an email afterwards saying that it helped shift them. You know, like it helped them in their grief journey. And that's not – I never thought about that, you know, like when we started the podcast. It was about expressing these stories to people. But when these people kept telling me how important this podcast was to them in their grief journey to sort of showcase their loss to the world and talk about these dreams that they haven't really spoken about, it made me, like, just so grateful to have that platform because it's actually doing more good than I even knew. You know, like, it's helping people that are coming on the podcast, not just people listening. And I thought that's probably the most unexpected thing I had, and that's why I value the podcast so much more than when I started.
So you're helping people understand their own lives. And it's so funny because after losing my mom, we lost a beloved animal of hers 1 month later. I won't say of mine because that dog was sickly to begin with. She loved that dog dearly. I don't know how she put up with that dog. But so that was a really interesting experience, watching a human die who loves dog, and then watching the dog die who also loves the human. And that was just fascinating. And they both had traumatic death at the end. And I'm like, really? Because both had trauma at the end of your lives, and I'm like, really, coincide a couple months, the human died in August, the dog passed away in October. So I'm like, really, a couple months after this happens, but that's okay. The dog probably died of a broken heart, knowing that his master, one of his masters, was gone.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a good testament to sort of, you know, dogs in general, right, or pets in general. Like, when their owner dies, you know, like, it's tough on them. You know, because they animals too. And so, like, why?
Animals
grieve too. And I think, you know, it's, we don't sometimes think about it too much, but they do. And it's nice to know, like, what kind of bond they actually did have. If the dog did grieve, as you said, right, what kind of, like, relationship they had together. And that's just a beautiful thing.
No, and even though this dog was a very sickly puppy to begin with, my mom still devoted her life to this dog. So he probably died of a broken heart knowing that one of his masters was gone. He probably got cancer and died of a broken heart, too. So the cancer didn't take him. Broken heart took him.
Yeah, well, like, when you're, cause, you know, like, it makes sense when you're stressed, you know, like, your immune system shuts down, you have poor sleeping habits, and so all this stuff can foster your body shutting down quicker, right? And so when we talk about grief, we're talking about, you know, huge amounts of sorrow and stress, and, like, your body isn't functioning at optimal level anymore. And so, yeah, I can understand that, especially for animals, too.
Well, that's fascinating, and thank you for coming on and sharing this research with my podcast audience. Now, before I let you go, do you have any questions for me?
Sure, yeah, of course. So my first question is, if you could have a dream of your mom tonight, I know you have one every night, but if you could actually make one up and, like, plan it, like, what would you want the dream to be?
Her actually seeing my graduation ceremony in journalism, because when I got my original education degree, I didn't even go that I received the diploma, and I was grieving her, thank you very much. So this is before she lost her beloved dog. So I received the diploma from CMC, which is Colorado Mountain College, a community college in Colorado. And so my dream would have her sitting in the audience of her watching me get an associate's in journalism.
Wow. That'd be a cool dream. What would she be wearing? Did she have, like, a fancy dress she always wore?
I'm also part Canadian because she was born in Toronto, believe it or not. And I mentioned that in my book, I Come Home In, so that's public knowledge. And then they moved to the Bahamas, whereupon they started caterpillar practices down there. For those of you who are living under a rock, caterpillar practices are big yellow practices who get on construction sites. So that's how my family did what they did really well. And so she, to answer your question, she would probably be wearing a nice top or black pants. She wasn't really a dress person, but she did have really nice clothing, like Chanel, let's just put it that way. And so she would probably be dressed to the nines and, of course, having a proud mommy moment, you know, because I'm finally getting the associate's degree of my dreams. So, and, of course, as I told you, when I got my original degree in education, I was grieving her, so I didn't go. So this would be her proud mommy moment of the century, because she kind of forced me into going into a low-paying job which has nothing to do with cerebral palsy. It's just the nature of the beast, because I'm a teacher, and teachers are always getting low-paying jobs, whereas being a journalist is something I love. Also, the pay's higher than teaching. So this would be her proud mommy moment. And I know, as a matter of fact, she's looking over me as I slave away at this journalism degree. And I say slave away because this is something I wanted to do. And I told her as I was leaving the hospital, I looked behind me and said, I'm going back to journalism school after I get this job sorted out, because I lost my job in the economic crash of 2009. So 2008, 2009, when everyone was losing jobs left, right, and center, I was one of the thousands of Americans that lost their jobs.
Wow. So, that's a wild,
yep.
Interesting dream. Yeah, it's a really interesting dream.
Yep.
That you have of your mom. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah. It does, and that's what's pushing me to get this journalism degree, honestly, because I want to do it for those who can't speak and for my mom. I mean, I looked at her. She was dying, and I said, I'm going back to journalism school somehow. And she gave me the blessing to be a creative and do I Come a Win. But so that would be my dream if I could have it. And I'll probably have that dream as we get closer to my finishing, knowing me. And so, yeah, that would be my dream.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Another question I have is, when you have your dreams, do you take some of them to be visitations from your mom? Because you said she's looking down on you. I'm curious.
Do I take some
your dreams
to be visitation? A dream point. Yes, I do. To be quite honest with you, yes, I do. And if I see, I'll probably see a white feather floating around the way on today, because white feathers are a sign of her. And yeah, friends keep telling me they saw white feathers right after she died. So that's a sign. And also the deer are a sign. So I'll probably see a deer in my backyard later on today, because that's a sign from her white feathers and a deer. So if you guys see white feathers as you're listening, don't be surprised that that someone is watching over this podcast. i.e. my biological mom. So, yeah, don't be surprised and all that.
That's amazing. It's cool. And it's nice to know. I said, like, nice to know your mom's still around you and that she pops up in your dreams and in waking life, just sort of continue to say she's proud of you and that she loves you and she's there and watching.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's super
yeah.
cool. I'm glad you have those moments in life to remind you, right, like, of who you are and the love that you still have together. All right, my last question is, if she was on this podcast, what would you ask her?
Oh, boy. That's one of my deepest regrets, why I didn't be told her when she was still living on this planet, why I didn't be told her the day we had the mother-daughter conversation in the hospital, and she said, when am I going home? And I said, I don't need to know. And so I said, I don't know, but we had the sweetest mother-daughter conversation, just her and I, that's my deepest regret of not becoming her. But one of the things I would ask her is, am I going to make it in journalism? Because journalism is a very tough field, and even though she was an asthmatic, and even though she was strong like Bill, she was a very wise woman. And people say to me, I look so much like her. And so my question to her would be, am I going to make it in journalism? Because I have CP, because I walk with a walker, because I'm different. So my question to her is, will I make it in journalism? That wouldn't be my question to her.
Cool. That's cool. Well, that's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and
hopefully, hopefully you get that answer soon.
Well,
enough.
Hopefully one of these days I get that answer. And so, Josh, where can people find you? I know I found you via my podcast player, which, where can people find you, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to go to griefdreams.ca, and on there there's links to everything. So there's the Grief Dreams podcast, there's the Grief Dreams Facebook group, there's, you can follow me on Instagram at Grief Dreams. I post dreams and other fun stuff for people to look at. But those are the main places. And then there's, on the website, there's tools to help answer some questions that you may have. And then also all my contact information is on there if you want to reach out to me
yeah.
with questions about your own dreams and stuff. So, you know, that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
And is your podcast an interview-based show? I presume it was, because
yes, it is.
The one I listened to, it was an interview-based show, and you were interviewing, which I highly recommend that people go listen to, they were interviewing a woman that adopted her father's son, believe it or not. Weird story, I know. And I was just fascinated that someone would do that in a time of grief, and it's like, please sign the paperwork so the son has a nice place to live, but dad gets remarried, and daughter has to adopt her half-brother, and it's just fascinating. And the reason why I say you guys is because Josh has a co-host that does the podcast interview, so you guys did a fabulous job with that one, and now I'm a huge fan of your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, like, you never know who's listening, and to get feedback, especially sort of from you, that you're doing a podcast, it's nice to hear, and means we're doing something right, you know?
Yes, and that being said, you guys, if you install TuneIn as a tuner guitar in as in walking in the door. It's an app, and you can hear Ask Gwen under, it's actually Butterflies of Wisdom is how they phrase it. I'm actually trying to look with tune in to get it to Ask Gwen. You can actually hear it on Amazon, Amazon Lady in the Can, Amazon Alexa, and I apologize for making every Alexa go off. And so you may have to mute that after I said Amazon, because Alexa's very finicky. So you can now listen to it on Alexa and just look for Butterflies of Wisdom. As I said, I'm working with TuneIn because I put it under Butterflies of Wisdom and we forgot about it. But now Ask Gwen is on Amazon. So test it out, see how you like it, and give me feedback on that one, because I don't have that device at my house. And, yeah, so I need beta testers of that one. And so I hope that you guys enjoyed a brief interview with Josh, and happy Labor Day for those of you that are celebrating. And just remember that your loved ones are still around and the pets are still around, and Josh is trying to get this work out there. And I thank Josh for coming on the podcast and sharing his story. And go check out the Grief Dream podcast. It can be found in all major podcast players. I know these people put it in all major podcast players. So go check out the Grief Dream podcast. Reach out to Josh and let's get this party started about dealing with loved ones in a good way, not in a bad way. Thanks. See you guys. Bye.